Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, and a very happy Valentine's Day to you. And I guess because it's Valentine's Day, or it's a good reason, I think, to talk about our hearts. And we're going to be talking about your heart and mine and everybody else's with Dr. Aga Silbert on the show. I'm really looking forward to talking with her today. And here we are in our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. And it's a time to reflect a bit. You rely on the Ideas Network for informative, for interesting discussions. And, of course, we rely on you to keep programs like this one going strong. Tom Lujack joins me, interim director at Wisconsin Public Radio. Tom, welcome. And listener support's pretty important.
It sure is, Larry. Good to be with you today on this Valentine's Day. You know, listener support is so critical because the gifts that come from our listeners make a huge, huge difference at WPR. In fact, any amount that you give right now makes that difference to allow us to continue to do our programming. Just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And last hour, we heard from 16 new and returning members, so thank you so much for those gifts. Right now, we have a dollar-for-dollar match going on, up to $3,000. This generous match is from current members, including a member in New Berlin, and it means that they will match every dollar you give.
You know, it's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So double your support for the programs that you love. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is committed to quality, and that's why we've been around for more than 100 years. And since listener donations make up the largest piece of our funding for our programs, that quality is possible thanks to you.
You know, your contribution makes this program with Larry possible, and so many other programs as well. So when you give, you're part of the quality that you hear every day on WPR. Make a difference right now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Public media love is in the air, and you've been on our mind. WPR is committed to presenting you with a wide array of offerings so you feel informed and inspired every day.
And the variety of programming that you enjoy on air and online is possible because people like you generously step up to support it. If you've never given before, make your declaration of love for Larry and the rest of the team here at WPR. Your love for comprehensive news coverage, compelling conversations, you name it, all with your gift. It all is possible when you go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Public radio gives people opportunities to hear programming that they can't hear anywhere else. My greatest fear as a driver is that I'll run out of a zone where there's a public radio station, and then I have to revert to something else. But I keep coming back because of the variety. My name is Penny, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for programming I can't get anywhere else.
Penny, thank you very much. What about you? Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation this winter member drive. Larry Mueller here with Tom Lujack. The WPR programs you enjoy are possible thanks to your support. And your contribution could be $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose. It makes a difference for the entire community.
You know, supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
And your gift supports the stories and the programs that keep you connected to the world. So please give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Our dollar-for-dollar match still in effect. We have about $3,000 left to raise, so give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And it's $10 Tuesday. You can support Wisconsin Public Radio and ask for that WPR. They call it a beanie, but I think it's a knit cap is what I'd call it. Anyway, $10 Tuesday, you give a gift of $10 a month or more. It's cozy. Its olive green hat features the WPR logo on a leather patch, and you can ask for yours at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. So step up right now, because this special gift offer is just for today. Tomorrow, the beanie will be available for a higher donation.
You know, if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up, and you'll make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. Just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to provide reliable, steady support for the programs that you love.
Nancy in Dodgeville says, through the years, WPR has always been there with information, laughs, and respect for its listeners. Your gift right now is so important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't done that, well, do it right now while you're listening to our guest. Dr. Aga Silbert is a clinical cardiologist and faculty member. She's in the Division of Cardiovascular Medicine at UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. We'll talk with Dr. Silbert about keeping your heart healthy as you age, and she'll tell us how to know when it's time to see a doctor for a heart condition. So how do you keep your heart healthy? I like to get up in the morning and do a little 2-3 mile jog just to start the day. It's a good way to do it. I think it helps. Maybe I'll ask her. Maybe it does. Maybe it does. I think it does. What about treatments that you might have questions about? I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. Dr. Aga Silbert, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure and honor to be on this particular radio. And I'm so happy that I have an opportunity to talk more about heart healthy behaviors, because that's sort of my passion.
Yeah.
And sometimes I get people bored with this. So here, nobody can interrupt me.
You're not going to bore anybody. I tell you what, people listen when it comes to the heart, I think. And why should, well, let's talk about why should people prioritize their heart health?
Well, what is very important, I really don't want to use a scary statistics here, but it's important to know that cerebrovascular disease, which kind of encompasses the coronary disease, hypertension, stroke, it is a leading cause of death, and it's worldwide. It's not just in the United States. And when you think about it, we talk a lot about cancer. We're scared of cancer. You hear people talk about cancer, but we don't talk a lot enough about heart disease, especially in women. So I'm done talking about statistics, but it's important to know that it is a number one killer.
Is there a common misconception about heart health in your mind?
I think we, as a society, we don't acknowledge the fact that in order to achieve a perfect health, there's a lot of work, and it's not enough to just not do the bad things, but we have to do the right things for the heart. When you look at, there was a very interesting study called Merit that looked at all the contributing factors to heart disease. And there's about 7 factors, 7 to 9, depending how you count it. But when you get rid of all of them, you get rid of the heart disease. So you can... 90% of a heart disease is modifiable, which means that if we take care of a hypertension, cholesterol, obesity, being inactive, having a, quitting smoking, when we do all the right things, we really can reduce the chances of having a heart attack. And I think there is a common misconception. People who get diagnosed with the heart disease feel like it's almost like a sentence, right?
Yeah.
Or people who are diagnosed with hypertension or diabetes, they feel like, okay, I got it. This is my burden to carry. Well, reality is that you can reverse it by lifestyle modifications. So I think this is the most important. This is something that I would love to push during this conversation, that as scary and as dangerous that is, it's something that we can treat and we can as long as there's a cooperation between, you know, a doctor and a patient, we can accomplish great success.
Sally in Milwaukee has a question for you. Let's go there. Sally, hi.
Hi. I was just diagnosed with aortic stenosis, and I'm wondering, how does that affect the heart?
That's a very good question. So our heart is built with four chambers that kind of push the blood from one into another through the series of valves. And those valves are there to not allow blood to go backward. And one of those very, very important valves is called aortic valve, which allows the blood to be pushed out of the big left ventricular chamber, the main sort of pump of our body, into the aorta. This is a big vessel that brings the blood to the whole body. And when this aortic valve is narrowed, it is not allowing a free blood flowing through. So imagine a situation when you would have a pipe that has a nice little valve at the end, and this valve is stuck. Everything in the pipe is going to kind of back off, or back up rather, and not let the blood go into the whole body. So aortic stenosis is a very, very common disease. And there's a couple stages of the aortic stenosis. There's mild, moderate, and severe. And depending how much the narrowing of the aortic valve is recognized, it requires either serial kind of testing to make sure it's not getting worse, or when it gets to the point that's very, very severe and the amount of blood that's going through this valve is very small, it might require even surgery.
Mm. So there you have it, Sally. Thank you, and good luck, by the way. Appreciate your call very much. Peter in Pewaukee will go to you. Hi, Peter.
Good morning, and thank you. I have been diagnosed with some atrial fibrillation, and I've talked to my cardiologist/electrophysiologist about the problem, and he told me about certain things that we could do, or I could do, but one was ablation. And I'm not, first of all, not real clear about what it is here, and is it as dangerous as it sounds?
Okay, ablation.
Well, so first of all, Peter, I really encourage you bring the questions back to your doctor, and he can give you an exact numbers in your situation, how dangerous, how appropriate that is. So, you know, in general, atrial fibrillation is a condition of the heart that makes the heart beat irregular and sometimes fast. And both of those situations are not good, because heart is like, if you would compare a heart to a racehorse, it's okay for the racehorse to race once in a while, but it's not good to race all the time. And when the heart is in atrial fibrillation, sometimes it beats so fast, it's like if you're in the race for your whole life, it makes the heart tired. So so the first order is to kind of slow down the beating, not allowing it to be so fast. And the second one is to try to bring it back to a good normal rhythm. And there are different options to do that. There are medications and there's an ablation. Ablation is a procedure that gained a lot of momentum over the last probably 10, 20 years. It has been getting more and more used. And initially, it was used only for a few cases, for a few selected patients that had a specific issues. But right now, it's used for very, very commonly. And overall, risk of ablation is pretty low. However, not zero. So individual has to kind of talk with the doctor who's performing the procedure, because that also vary how the procedure is being done, what's the technique. But it is not a procedure that that is considered, you know, very dangerous or extreme. It's sort of becoming a pretty common
thing. Huh. Peter, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Our guest today, Dr. Aga Silbert, a clinical cardiologist at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Great to have her with us as we talk about your heart health, and I'm really glad to have her today on this Valentine's Day and also during our Wisconsin Public Radio member drive. And Tom, Lou Jack's popping back in today. We're here today to raise the money that pays for the programs you enjoy, programs like this one. As support from people like you, it's the largest piece of our funding, and that's why your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important.
And you know, Larry, we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from current members, including one in New Berlin. That means that your gift of $50 turns into $100, and $100 turns into $200, and so on. Take advantage of this match and double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio, it's a powerful resource for news, for talk like the talk we're having today with Dr. Silbert, and for music. They've all come together in Wisconsin Public Radio, and this service has an impact all over the state and far beyond to provide information, to provide connection, and to provide inspiration.
You know, it really is neat, Larry, when you think about it, the fact that when you give, you not only are ensuring that programming is there for you, but you're really enriching the lives of hundreds of thousands of other listeners all around the state and actually way beyond Wisconsin. So make your impact. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might have a monthly subscription for your cell phone and maybe for Netflix or Hulu or Apple TV Plus. Now we're asking you to support WPR like you pay for other services you rely on.
And, you know, the difference here is that you decide how much to give. It's not the service telling you what you got to pay. You decide. So support the programs that are a part of your day. Become a WPR sustainer. Choose a monthly gift amount that works for you, and then set up ongoing installments at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Today is $10 Tuesday. Ask for your WPR beanie when you give $10 a month. You'll provide ongoing support for the essential news and refreshing entertainment you rely on, and you'll love your new logo hat. It's only available for $10 a month today, $10 Tuesday. So ask for your olive green WPR beanie now. Here's how.
Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. This is the Winter Member Drive. Larry Mueller here with Tom Lujak, and listener support's our biggest source of funding for our shows, and that's why your gift of $10 a month, or maybe it's $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, it really has an important impact.
And, you know, we have a dollar-for-dollar match going on, and we want to congratulate the listeners who've called in. We started the hour with a $3,000 match, and guess what? We've already cut about $900 into that. So we've made a big push. We've got $2,160 to match here in the next hour. It's a great time to donate because current members, including one in New Berlin, will double every dollar that you give today. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So double the impact of your gift right now. Just go to WPR.org or dial us up at 888-202-2552.
And you might be wondering, how much should I give? That's really up to you. As Tom was saying, your contribution, any amount, will be turned into programs that keep you informed and entertained all year long.
The key is to make your gift right now, though, in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We want to thank you for making an investment that serves not only you, but your entire community.
It's $10 Tuesday, by the way, and here we are with our dollar-for-dollar match still going on. But when you make a gift of $10 a month or more in support of WPR programs, you can ask for your WPR knit cap. this cozy oven.
I want one of those.
I'm going to get one. I always wind up getting our gifts because I contribute always to meet those. It's a cozy olive green hat, and you can show off your public media pride wherever you go. And just ask for yours at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Tom Louise in Wauwatosa said something kind of nice.
She did. She said, I appreciate Larry and every other guest who gives interesting and reliable information. There's some love for you on Valentine's Day, Larry.
No, that's good. I appreciate it. Louise, thank you. Your gift right now, so important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you. Thanks for listening in today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking heart health today on this Valentine's Day with Dr. Aga Silbert, clinical cardiologist and a faculty member in the Division of Cardiovascular Medicine at UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. It's great to have her with us. Questions, give a call. The number is 800-642-1234 or email to ideas@wpr.org. Dr. Silbert, David in Shorewood emailed us and wonders, what are the current heart-healthy diet recommendations for reducing our risk of cardiovascular disease? And he wonders if there's a gender effect. How significant is the difference following the recommendations? Is it different a little bit for men or women, or is it about the same? You know, or really, is it mostly just genetics that plays in?
It's a great question, and I'm so grateful for that because it gives me opportunity to talk about food. The diet is probably one of the most important aspects in your life. We enjoy it. We like it. We don't always think about it as nutrition for our body. Sometimes we think about it as pleasure, and I'm sure today on Valentine's Day, there's a lot of nice dinners going out there with great desserts and a lot of commitment saying, okay, this is my last dessert.
As hopefully of tomorrow, not too many broken hearts.
No broken hearts on Valentine's Day. But in briefly, what is, I usually tell my patients, it's very difficult. Diet is very complicated. I am a cardiologist, but at some point I decided that I don't know enough about diet, so I went and studied bariatric medicine, which is basically treatment of obesity and nutrition to help myself so I can help my patients better. And I have five rules that are sometimes helpful for patients. Well, number one, if you wonder what to eat vegetable. So the nice thing about eating as much vegetable as possible, and we should have 5 cups of vegetable a day. How many people do you know that can do that?
I get about 2 cups a day, probably. Be honest.
We should at least strive to get this done. And the nice thing is that it provides fiber, which is brilliant. It helps to cure diabetes, high cholesterol. And once you eat vegetables, you don't have place to eat other things that are not particularly healthy for you. So vegetables are the number one on your diet, and the more vegetables you can eat, the healthier you're going to get. The next thing is food that don't have a high glycemic index. So a simple carbohydrates are, although very frequently very pleasurable, very nice to eat, but they're bad for you because they go directly, they sort of get metabolized very quickly and go directly into the layer of fat, either around your intestines or around your belly, which you don't want to promote.
Yeah.
The next thing is you have to eat as many monounsaturated fats rather than the trans fats. So the trans fats are those bad, things that are on a processed food. So if you eat, let's say, bacon or cold cuts or sausages or, certain canned food, there's a lot of ingredients that not only promote inflammation and the weight gain, but can also promote cancer. So you want to eat as simple food as possible. I always tell patients that if the food has too many ingredients, it's probably not good for you. And then try to avoid white powders in any form or shape. So no white sugar, no white salt, no white flour, and of course, no other bad things that can be detrimental to your health. So those are the kind of rules that are general. There are more specific. There is, in general, by the cardiology, we accept a Mediterranean diet or something called a DASH diet, D-A-S-H, which is a diet that, again, is full in vegetables, low in salt, and low in processed food. You know, I always encourage patients person who's interested in nutrition to read about the Mediterranean diet, read about DASH diet, and see what they can adopt for themselves.
Okay, so today for lunch, I'm having a cheese. I brought this from home. I've got a cheese sandwich on kind of a whole wheat bread. A cutie, you know, those little tangerine type things, an apple, and low sodium V8. Am I going to die?
Well, you're not going to die, but I'm not sure if it's going to give you a fountain of youth for you either. So what I would strongly recommend, replacing the VA and the orange with actually fresh vegetables. So get yourself a package of some broccoli, cauliflower, some asparagus, peppers. Then replace your sandwich with a piece of protein of some sort. And when I'm talking about protein is, as many proteins as you can have that are not coming from the animals, the better you are. The lentils, beans, those are a great source of good energy and proteins. If you have to eat meat, it should be as free grass fed as possible, with as little hormones as possible. I would skip the bread because I'm sorry, I'm making assumption, but your work is fairly sedentary. So for you to burn that calories that you're getting from the two slices of bread, you'll really need to go and run for a good hour. So those are, and the cheese is okay, but for some people whose cholesterol is very high, even the dairy products, especially yellow cheeses, are high in the wrong type of fat, and it basically helps to accumulate cholesterol.
Well,
so
okay.
I'm sorry, I'm not your favorite person right now, am I?
Let's see what's on Rachel's mind in Wausau. Hi, Rachel. Thanks for calling.
Hi. My question is, there's been a lot in the media over the last couple of years how different women's heart symptoms are than men's. And recently, my sister in a major hospital in Dallas, Texas, went in. Nighttime, kind of unease of feeling in her chest, jaw pain, pretty much dismissed in the ER, sent home, told everything, just check back with your doctor, blah, blah, blah. When she finally got into a cardiologist a couple weeks later, she had a 95% blockage in her right descending artery on her heart, and also another 70% blockage that they took her immediately in for stents, and was still her symptoms were dismissed. And I'm just curious why they're still dismissing women's symptoms, because they aren't having the crushing pain on their chest like men.
Symptoms, women's symptoms, and we hear that a lot, Dr. Silbert.
Yes. So this was a very, very interesting problem that you brought up. And, for the last 20 years of my career, I have been treating women much more than I've been treating men because I was running a women's heart center back in Illinois. So by virtue, a lot of women were kind of coming my way. And I heard that story over and over again. What has happened over the last probably 10 years, things got much better, but they're still far from good. When you look, there was a very interesting study that looked how many women are aware that cardiovascular death is something that is a leading cause, that's the main cause of death for women. And guess what? 50% of women did not think about that. So even us as women, we are not adequately aware of how significant that is. As far as the symptoms are concerned, interestingly enough, there's a lot of studies on that. And what was very, very fascinating is that women don't necessarily have a different symptoms. They present them in a different way, and they dismiss them a little bit more. So to begin with, we come at the disadvantage because we sort of ignore some of the symptoms to begin with. And then by the time the symptoms are significant, they also signify the fact that the disease is more progressed. But in general, women can also present, and that was the fascinating part, without a typical symptoms period. So women can present with symptoms of pressure, tightness, feeling of fullness in the neck area, in the chest. Sometimes extreme headache, nausea, vomiting could be the presentation. So it all has to be taken in the context of what's going on. And if there's something acute, something new, and you're having symptoms that are, you're having shortness of breath, and actually shortness of breath is the most common symptoms women present with. You have shortness of breath, you are diaphoretic, you're nauseous. Don't just say, oh, it's probably my stomach. You know, it's so much better to get evaluated in a situation like this. And you know, I hear your frustration that you know, her symptoms have not been diagnosed. Unfortunately, it still happens. But then as a woman, we have to be aware of that and actually kind of bring it up and ask the right questions. Have you done all the right tests that should have been done? Have you excluded the possibility? You should ask those questions to the doctor, the ER physician that you are working with. There is a interesting study that also shows that women have chest pain that could be despite the fact that their coronaries are normal. And in the past, we would call it an atypical chest pain. We would sort of say, oh, yeah, it's just there. Now we know that those women can have a small vessel disease. And it's actually this finding has almost as bad connotation as having a blocked major coronary arteries. Those women do die from sudden cardiac death. Those women do have complications. So, you know, women have to be taken very seriously, especially that it is number one. Heart disease is a number one killer amongst women.
Dr. Aga Silbert, our guest today. Rachel from Wausau, thank you so much. I'm sorry about your sister. It's a terrible thing, but good to hear what Dr. Silbert is telling us about, about heart in general, but also certainly as heart attack or heart problems relate to women as well. Here we are in a Wisconsin Public Radio member drive. It's Valentine's Day. It's a good day to talk about the hearts. And Tom Lujak joins me again. You count on the Ideas Network for great discussions. Your gift, any amount, makes these discussions possible. Listener support, it's our largest support source of funding for our shows. And that's why your support right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important.
And we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from current members, including one special one in New Berlin. That means that your gift of $50 turns into $100, $100 turns into $200, and on and on and on. So take advantage of this match and double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's been really interesting, and I'm looking forward to talking more with Dr. Agnes Silbert about heart and heart health. We've got a lot to cover here during the show, and I think it's a certainly enriches my life, and I hope it enriches yours as well. It's something that's kind of unique to public radio, and here we are, listeners supported. And that means when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this program and many more others possible. So I hope you'll choose an amount that works for you, just takes you a couple of minutes, and then make your gift.
And again, everyone should make the gift that works for them. And for you, that might be a gift of $100 or maybe even $200 a month.
Yeah, and maybe that's what you pay for cable or maybe your family phone plan. Listening to WPR, something you do maybe every day, put a value on it and put your contribution in at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I like to listen to WPR because it informs me, enriches me, and also kind of challenges me. It's just wonderful. I listen the minute I wake up on the way to work, when the work day is done, in the evening, and we even have the radio on for our pets during the day. I became a sustaining member, first of all, because of the convenience. It helps me be a part of WPR in a significant way because it's ongoing. It's a way to keep the mission going, and my small part, I think, plays a part in that. I'm David from Stevens Point, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank you, David. I hope you will join David and go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Tom Lujack. Your support during our drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift, it could be 10 or 20 bucks a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
You know, Wisconsin has access to quality news, talk, and entertainment really because of all of you, because 50,000 individuals and households choose to support WPR each year.
And we work on the honor system here, and join this team effort. Your gift right now of, say, $10 a month, you decide the amount, and then make your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And Larry, we've got some breaking news. Our dollar for dollar match is still in effect. We started the hour looking for $3,000, and guess what? We've already raised $3,400. So we've blown through the roof. People are loving this Valentine's Day's discussion. Let's keep it going, though. We need those dollars to get quality program, to keep quality programming like this on the air every day of the year. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And here's another deal for you. $10 Tuesday, support WPR and ask for your WPR knit cap with your gift of $10 a month or more. It's a knit cap. It's cozy. It's olive green. It's got the WPR logo on a leather patch. And you can ask for yours right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Delilah in Mesa, Maine says something nice.
You know, people are loving this show, Larry. They're loving you. Delilah said, thank you, Larry, for your consistently fascinating, useful, and entertaining interviews and topics. That's why we just blew through the roof here. People love you, Larry.
Your gift right now, so important, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you. Taking a look at how to keep your heart healthy, and if there are some problems, kind of how to deal with them, with our guest, Dr. Agnes Silbert from the University of Wisconsin Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Great to have her with us, and certainly lots of callers online, so I think we'll go right to the phones. And Stan in Green Bay. Stan, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi. I'd like to share an interesting fact that anyone out there can Google it. And if you look up countries with the highest per capita meat consumption, number one in the world is Hong Kong, and number two in the world is Australia. And then if you Google countries with the highest life expectancy, guess what? Number one is Hong Kong, and number eight is Australia. So somebody must have told Australia and Hong Kong that meets, you know, lowers life expectancy, because whatever they're doing, it's certainly working. And just like your guest, the comment.
All right. Dr. Silbert, what do you think?
Well, I think there's a lot of factors that contribute to the survival. And there is, fortunately, heart disease is the number one killer, but it's not the only killer. So there are other factors, including, of course, cancer, accidents, I'm not quite sure where does Australia stand, but I'll tell you what, there is a small island in Japan who basically has the longest living people, and they actually eat mostly vegetables. So, you know, unfortunately, most of the studies that we do, most of the dietary evaluations that we do are so complex that it's usually not just evaluating just the meat consumption, but what kind of meat it is. What is it combined with? I will tell you, the worst part in a diet is not the meat. The worst part in a diet is the processed food. And it's the fats that are inappropriate. It's the sugar, the amount of sugar we're consuming, the simple sugar. So those are probably the highest contributors to diabetes and to hypertension. And those in the next step are the highest contributors to the coronary disease. Now, there's one more thing that is important as well. Diet is crucial, but the amount of physical exercise is also crucial. And there are countries that are better than us in the physical exercise. So when I'm on the physical exercise, let's say what the recommended dose of daily exercise is, and it is about at least 30 minutes of moderate exercise 5 times a week. And what is scary is that it's less than 20% of our society is able to actually do it on a regular basis. So that means that there's a lot of people out there that don't make this amount of effort to keep their heart healthy. Now, I don't know about New Zealand, and I don't know how much exercise they do, but I can guess that it might be higher than us.
Yeah, frankly, anybody's higher than us. Or at least many, many countries are higher than us on that. Stan, thanks very much for calling. Eugene and Viola, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Eugene.
Oh, hello, Larry. I just got done going a couple months ago through a cardiac, putting in stents in my heart in the UW-Madison at the cardiology department down there. And I'm 84 years old. I'm starting to pick up on my strength, and I'm staying on a vegetarian diet. Now, is there anything else I should be doing, I'm wondering?
All right. And when was that? A couple of months ago. Yeah.
So I'm so proud of you that at your age, you changed your diet and you're open to a new solution. That's excellent. So the only thing about the vegetarian diet is that sometimes the moment you limit your diet to one type, you might be limiting some nutritional ingredients, and vegetarians are a little bit more prone to anemia. So you have to make sure that you have adequate input of iron in your diet, for example. So that's always a good idea to talk either with your doctor or with the dietitian, and kind of go the best way is to make a food diary for a couple days, preferably. And then the dietitian could sit down with you and say, okay, well, it looks like you are doing adequate job on all the ingredients except of one or two. And then you can just supplement it with something else. And there's also some blood tests that can be done, which monitors the diet. For example, patients who had a bariatric surgery, who had part of their stomach either removed or tightened up so it doesn't fill with food, they have to be on a regular, under regular monitoring from the doctors to make sure that they have adequate level of the vitamins, because then absorption is changing. So it's especially if you implement a new diet, and especially if you're not, 15, 20 years old, it's a good idea to check with the doctor and say, hey, am I doing everything? Do I have everything on my diet? This is my food diary, and please help me with that. And if the doctor is not able, then the doctor can send you to a dietitian, and you can discuss it with the dietitian.
Eugene, thank you, and good luck, and appreciate your call. Celia in Madison, hi, what's on your mind?
Hi, I'm very much awed, Dr. Silver, for mentioning nutrition. I've had several two serious nutrition-related ailments because of my premature birth. And there is a new field of functional medicine with the Cleveland Clinic, the center, and Harvard has now opened a nutrition department in the Boston Baby Hospital that's run by Harvard Medical School. And so you might want to take a look at that. But what I was kind of surprised at was the mention of trans fats, unless you're referring to something other than what I know. I followed this specifically because trans fats, it took 50 years for the FDA to ban trans fats, thanks to the efforts of a UW biologist in the 50s. And during the 50s, there was an epidemic of...
Well, we're running up on time, but so the comment relates to trans fat, Dr. Silbert.
So the trans fats are still, unfortunately, when we're looking at the nutritional labels, what they do report is the amount of certain ingredients based on the number. So if the numbers are too low to report, some of those are not reported. And with the trans fats, there can be traces of trans fats in many different food products, and it's the combination is the mass of all of them that can actually provide you with the higher levels of trans fats in the diet.
There we go. Celia, thank you very much for calling. Dr. Aga Silbert, our guest today, during our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. We're getting up to the top of the hour. Tom Lujak comes back in and joins me to talk with you as we raise money to pay for the programs you enjoy, like the Larry Mueller Show. So support from people like you is the largest piece of our funding, and that's why your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important. And we've blown by our dollar for dollar match.
Yeah, we started the hour hoping for $3,000. We're over $4,000. Folks, please keep it coming, because not only have we been able to double that $3,000 amount, but every dollar that you give to us from now on just helps us keep great programs like Larry's on the air for many, many years to come. So double the impact of your gift by going to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Great to have Dr. Silbert on to talk with us about heart health. I think it's the kind of program that you're going to hear often in this 11 to 12:30 time slot and other times of the day as well. I think these programs are unique to public radio. And when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this program and the many other programs possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
And remember, it's $10 Tuesday. So when you support the programs you love, you can do it in style with a new WPR hat that you'll get if you give $10 a month or more. This cozy olive green hat will be your new favorite accessory, although Larry and I are sporting our public radio hats today, our baseball caps. Well, we'll put on the green one just to fly that flag. So ask for yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You have to join now because tomorrow the price goes up.
We've probably all had this happen. We spend money on something and then hardly ever use it.
I would say closets and closets full of clothes that I never wore.
I bought a pair of backcountry skis a few years ago that I have never used.
I bought an extremely cheap violin case that was so cheap that I threw it away within 10 minutes of opening it.
Unlike some investments, your donation to Wisconsin Public Radio is a good one. One you'll get value from every day. Make your gift to support the programs you count on right now. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your donation during our drive. Larry Mueller with Tom Lujack. The WPR programs you enjoy are possible thanks to your support, and your contribution might be $10 a month, might be $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose makes a difference.
And if you've never made a gift to WPR, become a member and make sure that you power the news, the talk, and the music that you rely on with your donation. Just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Today's a day of showing your friends and loved ones how much you care, and we want to share our appreciation for you. If you make annual contributions or sustain WPR with an ongoing monthly gift, from the bottom of our hearts on this Valentine's Day, we say thank you. Together, we make WPR a powerful resource for daily information, connections, and inspiration for the state of Wisconsin and beyond.
And if you haven't given yet, join the tens of thousands of dedicated WPR members when you donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Remember, together we're stronger.
Dr. Aga Silbert will be with us after our little news break. We're coming up on that news break right now. Don't forget, it's $10 Tuesday. Palatine says, I'm donating because I moved to Wisconsin this summer and I always listen to WPR. What about you? Your gift right now, so important, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And stay with us. We'll be back after a quick look at the news. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about how to keep your heart healthy on this Valentine's Day with Dr. Aga Silbert, who is a clinical cardiologist, faculty member at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Are you receiving treatments for your heart? On the fence about whether to see a cardiologist on this Valentine's Day? Maybe give us your heart questions at 800-642-1234. Email to ideas at WPR.org. A listener was wondering about high blood pressure, Dr. Silbert. Let's talk about high blood pressure. What's happening in the body when someone has high blood pressure?
So when we talk about the hypertension, we call it a disease, and it's appropriate. So, however, when you look at the blood pressure, it's just one of the measurements of your body well-being. It's kind of like a temperature or heart rate, right? And the blood pressure can be elevated without a diagnosis of hypertension in the situations of stress, physical exercise, or sometimes medications that we take. I recently saw a patient who has been taking pseudoephedrine, which is just for congestion, and that can raise the blood pressure. So you don't need to have necessarily the diagnosis of a hypertension to occasionally can have a high blood pressure. Now, and because it's a sign, it's a symptom, it's a value, it can be adjusted. So whenever patients come to my office and say, I have this diagnosis of hypertension, but I hate medications, I say, fine. Let's get your overall health to the as good place as we can, and maybe we can get rid of the medications. What is hypertension? Hypertension is a systolic blood pressure that's persistently above 120 over 80. We usually don't treat patients until their systolic blood pressure, the higher number, is above 140. And usually my approach is to start by lifestyle modifications. What are those? Well, again, that's the same thing that we talked earlier about, the diet and the exercise and refrain from smoking and figure out how to manage stress. Most of us don't manage stress very well. And unfortunately, it's one of those things that we probably should learn in a primary school, along with learning our alphabet and math. We should learn how to manage stress, but, you know, nobody talks about it. So we sort of toughen it up, we bottle it in, and all the cortisol levels in our body goes up, and that raises the blood pressure. So during the when the blood pressure goes up, it basically means that the arteries in our body kind of become a little bit more constricted, and sometimes the heart rate goes up. All of this can increase the blood pressure, and sometimes we need it in so-called fight and flight situation when there is a tiger running after us or a mugger. we need that. We need the increased heart rate. We need increased blood pressure because that allows our muscles to get perfused adequately so we can run away from a danger. But unfortunately, as we are sitting in front of our computers on our comfy sofas, we still experience this fight and flight because we just learned, for example, that we have a major death or we had a problem with the family member or something like this. There's no tiger running and we're not going to jump up and start running. But instead, we kind of internalize that. We have all this surge in the blood pressure, but we don't run. So the blood doesn't distribute in the muscles. It's just kind of increase and make the arteries harder because if they don't get harder, they can burst. So on the long term, elevated blood pressure causes this kind of irreversible hypertension, irreversible elevation of blood pressure. But even that could be controlled with the diet and lifestyle and hopefully not too many medications.
Yeah. Heart failure is another topic that came up. What are the signs of heart failure?
So heart failure, it means that our main ventricle, it's called the left ventricle, is unable to push the blood adequately into the aorta. And some of the blood backs up and causes sort of like the congestion of the lungs, of the liver, backs up all the way into the legs, and the legs get swollen up. And there's many causes of the heart failure. There are some that are very reversible. There are some that are not. The most common reason for heart failure is actually uncontrolled hypertension. So when we have people who run around with the blood pressure that is persistently elevated, at some point this left ventricle says it's too much, is too much. I can't handle this. And it becomes weak. And the other reason is a blocked coronary artery. So when you have a blocked coronary arteries and at some point you can either have a heart attack or kind of got an ongoing ischemia. Ischemia means that there's not enough blood flowing through the cardiac muscles. Again, the muscle can become weak and tired. But that's not the only reason. A fast heartbeat like atrial fibrillation can cause the heart failure if the rate is not controlled. Certain nutritional deficiency can cause the heart failure. Certain hormonal diseases like thyroid, for example, hypothyroidism and hyperthyroidism both can weaken the heart. And the signs kind of depend on what degree of the heart failure and how is our body coping with this. But the most common signs is shortness of breath, either with activity or even sitting down, having difficulties breathing when you lay down. It's called, it's the word orthopnea. It's kind of medical term, but it basically means that when you lay down, there's a lot of fluid that backs up into your lungs and you have trouble breathing. Swelling of your legs, it's another, could be another sign of the heart failure. And kind of generalized weakness, fatigue, and inability to do your daily activities. Sometimes it could be abdominal pain when the fluid kind of backs up into the abdomen, into the liver, into the intestines. So it's very concerning. And as I said, a lot of times it's reversible. So a prompt evaluation, diagnosis, and treatment can make things improve or go away completely.
Yeah. So what do you, wait a minute, here's an email I wanted to get into. It kind of relates to this. The listener has a right ventricle with thickened walls due to muscle growth, according to this and email, and wondering what procedures are done to reduce heart walls. Their cardiologist says the heart valve is not leaking enough to replace, but the heart is not pumping enough blood to their lungs.
Yeah, it's a challenging situation. So the heart And it's either left side of the heart called left ventricle or the right side of the heart called right ventricle can get thickened if it has to work against the resistance. So it could be the resistance of the valve when the valve is either narrowed or severely backing up, or there is some kind of obstruction down the line in the arteries that are taking the blood out of the heart. So unfortunately, there's no one answer to this because it all depends which valve, or how is it positioned, to what degree is it either narrowed or leaky, or and some of those things are treated with medications, or you know, sometimes the right heart can be enlarged just because of what's happening in the lungs, because that's where the right heart is pushing the blood in, and if somebody has severe lung disease can have an enlargement and thickening of the right ventricle. So it's unfortunately there's no simple answer of how could this be treated. It has to be discussed with the sometimes we cardiologists are discussing things with the surgeons to figure out what's the best approach to the therapy. Sometimes there are interventional cardiologists who can do some procedures that would open up the valve. But it's a very complex. It's complex enough that at UW we have a structural heart disease clinic where you have specialists from different areas, from the cardiology, from interventional cardiology, from CV, from the cardiovascular surgery. They get together and they sort of make this a discussion, and they take all the factors under consideration to then deliver the best possible option. Sometimes those options are not perfect, but we tried our best to minimize patient discomfort.
You know, heart surgery, I think that's something that scares probably a lot of people when to think about it. But what do you, you know, let's say you're a candidate for heart surgery. What should patients consider before going in for heart surgery?
Well, you know, nobody lightly recommends cardiac surgery because it's an invasive procedure. It leaves you with a lot of recovery time. So usually as cardiologists, we try to do everything possible before we would advise surgery. So we try first medications, then there are some procedures that can be done through the access into the arteries or vein that can fix the problem. But in certain situations, there's no better option but the surgery. And then that moment, we sort of we sit down with the patient and we lay down all the pros and all the cons of the surgery. What are the possible outcomes? And it's very difficult because to a certain degree, it could be a challenging situation for a physician, right? I mean, it takes us a while to process the information, figure out what's the best outcome. And then we have to bring it to the patient and say, hey, I know you've never studied medicine. I know you you don't know what I'm talking about, but here we go. We will do all of this, and you have a 3% chance of dying, or you have a 2% of chance of dying. But if you don't do this, you have 5% of chance of dying. So it's a challenging conversation. But in certain situations, when there's enough study supporting that the best outcome we have with the surgery, we tell the patients, you know, if we do a surgery, you have the best possible scenario that we can propose at this time. Obviously not ideal, because nobody wants to have their chest cut open, but it gives them the best chances of recovery.
What's the most important thing you want people to know about heart health?
Can I have three things or just one?
Go for it.
Well, number one, heart, there's no value that we can, there's no measure that we can discuss how important the heart is, but we know it's one of the most important values in our life, and, focus on it early. Focus on it. The prevention, the ounce of prevention is worth a pound of treatment. So think about this, not only for yourself, but for your children. And we as a society, we have to think about it, because there's some things that we do. Let's say women, pregnant women who are eating certain diet, they are potentially influencing the outcome of this child on the long run for the diabetes, hypertension, and so on and so forth. So we have to study. We have to know. People should feel, I love programs like this, and people should be reading as much as possible about a healthy nutrition, about a, you know, I love functional medicine. I think it's wonderful because it really brings people to look at the whole body as a one big, you know, organism that has to be treated in that way. So number one, knowledge, learn as much as you can. Two, prevention, focus on it as early as possible and really invest in this as much as possible. And three, don't despair. Majority of the treatment options that are available can be curative, and if you get diagnosed early, don't feel embarrassed about going to the doctor too early or going to the emergency room because you think that I might not be real, I'm just going to sit it through. Don't. If you feel that there is something wrong with your heart, don't wait. Nobody's going to laugh at you. And you don't want people laughing. You don't want your people crying on your funeral if you don't go to the emergency room. So the important thing is ask questions, go to the doctor, visit the doctor, have information, be sort of educated in your choices and fight for your health, because that's the highest value that we have in life.
Yeah, it is indeed. Dr. Silbert, it's a pleasure talking with you today. Thanking you very much for that. Dr. Aga Silbert, clinical cardiologist, faculty member in the Division of Cardiovascular Medicine at UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. One of the things that we really like to do on this show is talk about health from time to time, and we haven't talked about the heart for a long time, and it's great to have the kind of input we've gotten from Dr. Silbert today. And especially during our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter member drive, and Tom Lujak comes back in, and hey, this is our goal, is to keep bringing you topics like this one every day on this program and other programs as well throughout the day. Your support makes programs like this one happen, because your support is the largest source of funding for our programs. So give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And Larry, we're in the second hour of your show, and this so far we've heard from one caller. We need 14 more people to call in by 1 o'clock. The goal is set up so that we're certain to be in a good position to pay for the Larry Mueller Show in the months to come.
And let's meet this goal. It happens one gift at a time, and we can start with yours right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, on the Larry Mueller Show, there's a focus every day on how to make your life better. From practical advice, like today's discussion about your heart and how to keep it healthy, to topics that affect our communities. We talk about Wisconsin wildlife, interesting things going on at the university and in the state, health issues, consumer protections, even sports. You name it, you're going to hear it discussed here on Larry's program.
And you make the show possible when you join in the conversation and with your financial support. Your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 keeps the show going strong.
Today is $10 Tuesday, by the way. Celebrate your support for WPR in style when you ask for the WPR cap. This olive green hat features the WPR logo on a leather patch. So ask for yours when you give just $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And take advantage of this first day special, because tomorrow you'll need to make a bigger donation to get that hat
to get
on
the
your
same
head.
Hat.
Exactly.
Well, tell you what, on Wisconsin Public Radio, you get access. Here we've got had on the show today, Dr. Aga Silbert. Now, not everybody's going to have a chance to talk to Dr. Silbert in their life, but here was your chance today to call in and ask your questions. And certainly everybody listening, it's their chance to listen to what this marvelous clinical cardiologist had to tell us about our hearts. So, tell you what, you get lots of good news information as well along the way to keep you informed. And I think there's some great music, too. I like to listen once in a while on the other side.
You bet. We've got it all here. No matter where you are when you listen to WPR, you're a global citizen, hearing from artists, reporters, and experts literally from around the world. So because you appreciate this connection to the wider world, make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And maybe you've been listening to WPR without giving because maybe you didn't know we were listener supported. It's hard for me to imagine that people wouldn't know, but all right, we are. If you didn't know, we are listener supported. The largest source of funding comes from listeners.
And maybe you wanted to listen for a while to see if you liked what you heard. Well, listening to this last hour and a half of Larry with a great guest talking about your heart sure drives home the point how important this information is in your life. You're listening, so now's the perfect time to support the programming that you rely on. Your gift of $10 or maybe $20 a month, whatever you choose, makes a huge, huge difference to all of us at WPR. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.